No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, Saturday morning, dual stream with the great John Chapman. We got a lot to get to. It's the bye week, but man, stuff is starting to come into focus as we look at the Super Bowl picture. We'll get into all of it right now. Let's go. Off and running on the Krug Show on a Saturday meets the 49er Rush podcast. John Chapman in the house as we dual stream on this Saturday. Good morning to everybody. Welcome to December the 6th. You're running out of shopping days if you're trying to get me something. So get out there and shop your butt off. I always just say that to my sisters and brothers and my parents around December. Hey, guys. You know, you got like 2.5 weeks to go get me whatever you need to get me. You know, you guys better get out there and do it. Blair, shut up, Blair. Anyway, welcome to the Krug Show. We're brought to you by Pig and a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig and a Pickle. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. They're soon to be open in Petaluma as well. We're going to do the Krug Show meet and greet there tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow, the Krug Show meet and greet. At Pig and a Pickle. Check it out. Should be a lot of fun. We're expecting nothing. I mean, I don't know what we're expecting. Well, I'll be there eating barbecue throughout the day. That's really all I can guarantee you. And we'll have some Krug Show merch to give away. We've got a Ricky Pearsall autographed mini helmet that we're going to give away as well. And thanks to all the Krug Show army for coming out and supporting. Kev won't be in the house, but my wife's going to be there, and my two younger Ooh. Sons are going to be there.
That's awesome.
My wife said, "You're really going to debut me at a meet and greet?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, what can I say, honey? It's like, this is it. I mean, we're gonna go a little meet and greet here, and are you up for it?" And she said, "Absolutely. I want to meet the Krug Show group." So she will be in the house. Here is the flyer that we put together.
Ooh.
Look at that. It's amazing. This is the last meet and greet. We had, you know, I would say 25, 30 people show up.
Dude, that's incredible, man.
Kind of informal. It's a pretty small barbecue place inside of a really nice little mall there. And it's an outside mall. So stop by, say hello, get some barbecue, have a beer, have a root beer, watch some football. It's going to be the bye week. So whatever's on is on. And I'll just be hanging out. We'll be very informal. We'll give away some prizes. We'll chop it up a little bit. I'll be there all day. So stop by tomorrow in Corte Madera at any point, and we will have a Krug Show prize to whoever comes the greatest distance. You know, last time we had some guy come from the Oregon border. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes. Dude, a guy came down. He's like, yeah, you know, we got up this morning and, you know, came. I'm like, whoa, bro. I go, I am so incredibly floored by that. But, you know, we really do appreciate all the Krug Show fans. And we'll hopefully see a bunch of you there. So that's tomorrow. So thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Also, thanks to Sleeper. We'll tell you about them. Thanks to Habas Law. We'll get into that. Thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. But first, let's get right into the Niners at the bye week. You know, something happened the other day that I caught my attention, and that was the Thursday night game went to the Lions. And I found myself not knowing who to root for because I know the Lions are the better team. And so my natural instinct is to say, hey, root for the Cowboys against the Lions and have the Lions put away. But then it's against everything I know and everything I've ever been taught to root against the Cowboys. So I didn't know what I was rooting for in that game. I bet on Denver on death. Well, that would really be something. Bet on Detroit, and they did cover the 3.5 pretty easily. But I wasn't sure who to root for. And then after the game yesterday, it was announced that Brian Branch ruptured his Achilles and is done for the year. And that is, even though it's a terrible break for Brian Branch and it's a terrible break for the Lions fans, it's an equalizing kind of an injury, because this guy is one of the best, if not the best, DB in the country, in the nation. I think he's one of the best I've ever seen as far as coverage, hitting, instincts, feel, violence. He's got it all. This guy's a great, great player. Detroit just lost him for the year. So it kind of comes, you know, puts it into focus that, you know what, it's wide open. It's a wide open deal. And especially with injuries, anything can happen. It's wide open. It's anybody's ball game. It's a war of attrition. And the Niners are very much in it.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to add to that too, Larry. Like, that Thursday game, there was no defense present. Now you're taking away Brian Branch. Like, how can these teams survive in the playoffs? Like, the formula is run the ball, strong quarterback play, good defense wins in the playoffs. This Lions team, Cowboys team, I think they're completely out of it. And so, like, those things, I just do not anticipate. I know the offense is good enough for the Lions, but then you start looking at the standings, Larry. You're a 1.5 game still ahead of the Lions. Even if you have the same record, you beat them in every single tiebreaker. Like, so they've got a lot of ground to cover in such a short time still. So, you know, you talked about, like, who to root for in that game. Oh, I was pulling for the Lions the whole time. I'm born and raised in Dallas. I cannot root for that one-star helmet. I just can't do it, man. So I was on the Lions side. I wanted them to win. I'm thankful that they won. And I don't think that they pose a super threat to the 49ers in the playoff standings really much at all.
Well, I mean, why don't we talk about that right out of the chute? What do you anticipate this last month? Let's go, you know, best and worst scenarios, because the 49ers are favored in all four of these games. 12.5 on the against Tennessee. I think 2.5 in the other games. 49ers are going to be favored in all four of these final games to finish the year. Niners defense is playing well the last three games. They've gotten 7 turnovers. They're continuing to improve on a weekly basis on special teams, giving them one of the better special teams units going. So what would you say? I mean, what is the what do you envision, Johnny, for the final four games here? Is this going to be a real rude awakening, and we're going to get this, the teams, you really did play all these cupcakes, and now you're getting a little comeuppance playing the Bears and the Seahawks and the Colts? Or are the Niners getting better, and they're going to rampage and roll and continue to build momentum and head into the playoffs with a head of steam? How do you see it?
Man, it's weird, Larry, because this team is closer to the one seed than they are being eliminated from the playoffs. Like, that is the actual pathway to the one seed. Literally, if they just win out and the Rams lose one game, that's as simple as it is. But winning 4 games, 3 of 4 are going to be tough games, but 3 of 4 at home. You're playing the worst team in the NFL, the Titans, off a bye week. You're traveling to Indianapolis, which is going to be a blast. We'll be out there for the 49ers rush road trip. Going to be a good time. But Daniel Jones is not, he seems like a shadow of himself. How long is that injury going to play out? Like, what's that look like? So I think 2-2 is, like, I'm going to ride the fence here. Like, that's probably the most likely scenario, which 100% cements the 49ers in the playoffs. If they get to 11 wins with their tiebreakers and conference wins, division wins, they're in, guaranteed 100%. But anything on top of that, you go 3-1, there's a very real shot at winning this division, because the Rams schedule's not easy. Obviously, they just got thumped by the Carolina Panthers. So, like, you're talking one seed all the way down through probably the 6th seed. I think 7th seed's probably the least likely. They could finish anywhere in there, but I'm going to ride the fence and say 2-2 is probably the most likely, and I think I'd be 100% happy with that. Like, let me ask you, Larry, like, if you could sign up right now for the 49ers to go 2-2 down the stretch, would you take it?
I'll sign up for anything that gets them in.
Yeah.
Just get in. You know, just be on. Don't miss the playoffs. Make the playoffs, whatever that entails. I think it's going to take at least two wins. What do you think? I mean, what does 11? They're 9-4. Does 11-6 get them in?
Yeah, I think 11-6 gets away, because, like, you look at the teams behind them, right? You have the Carolina Panthers, who you have the head-to-head. So they're two games behind you. So the Carolina Panthers, even if they have the tie record, the 49ers hold the tiebreaker, right? So you beat them head-to-head. So you're 2.5 games ahead of the Carolina Panthers. Can they run the table? I don't see that with the Panthers team. Then, okay, back to the Lions. Well, the Lions still have to play at the Los Angeles Rams, the Steelers, then two divisional games on the road at Vikings, at Bears. Well, they're 1.5 games behind you. Can they go 3-1? Even if they do, like, that's another thing. That's a lot of these team schedules don't stack up fair. You have the Rams and the Seahawks play each other. You have the Bears and the Lions play each other. You have Green Bay and the Lions play. So, like, they're
Green Bay and the Bears play twice.
Yeah, it's going to start looking like the SEC, where they're just kind of, like, you know, folding in on themselves and costing their own division these wins. So I think because of the tiebreakers, that's what I'm going to keep going back to this entire time, Larry. You have the most conference wins in the entire NFL. That is the first tiebreaker outside the division. Okay, well, then let's get to the division. You have the most divisional wins in the entire NFL. So, like, all you have to do is keep pace, because you played such a heavy divisional schedule early, heavy conference schedule early. You're kind of, you know, the leader in the clubhouse where everybody's chasing you. I know you're the 7th seed right now, but the Niners don't even have to play a game this week, and they're going to wake up the 6th seed on Monday, because you've got, you know, the Bears and the Packers playing. Like, you have these teams playing that just, they're going to eat themselves, and the 49ers are going to benefit from it. So I think 10 wins gets you in, but then you've got to kind of watch, and, like, we need this to happen, that to happen. 11 wins for the 49ers, I'm going to say right now, 100% chance they are in. You get to that magic number 11, it's over. They're in the dance.
I think the Niners beat the Titans, and I think they beat the Bears. And I don't know about the Seattle game, because I don't know what's going to be on the line in that game. And not sure what to say about the road game in Indy. Daniel, you know, they're playing Indy at the right time. You know, they will be getting DeForest Buckner back, but you know, Daniel Jones is not the same player at this point that he was earlier in the year. That is going to be a Monday nighter, though, on the road. But the Niners typically play well in those games. Like, if you said to me, how do you think it's going to go? I kind of think the Niners are going to go. They've won 3 in a row. I think they're going to win 3 more in a row. I think they're going to beat Tennessee. I think they're going to beat the Colts, and I think they're going to beat the Bears. And then that last game, I don't know. I think they'll probably lose that game. I just feel like they're headed towards a split with Seattle and a split with the Rams.
And if that happens, they could still win the division, crazy enough, right? You have the Rams lose 2 games, and then that will tie all of them on divisional record, and you tie all of them head-to-head record, because you split with the Rams, you split with the Seattle Seahawks, you win on conference record. So that third tiebreaker, where, like, everything is at play. And with even a 2-2 record or a 3-1 record, I don't think you can win the division at 2-2, but 3-1 you can. If you go 4-0, I think they win the division. I think they're hosting a playoff game and possible 1 seed. Like, I don't know. You talk best case scenario, 1 seed is right there on the horizon, Larry. It's so close to grab.
What's going to be interesting is, I think Detroit's going to get in. I think Detroit's really good. You know, now they lost Brian Branch, but they go at Rams, home against Pittsburgh, at Vikings, which is looking very favorable right at this point, and then at Soldier Field in Week 18.
Win an end type game.
I think the Lions are going to win. I think they're going to win at least 3 out of 4 of those games. So, you know, the question is, do they beat the Bears? And if the Lions win 3 out of 4,
the Packers out or the Bears out?
I mean, somebody between the Packers, the Lions, and the Bears is going to be out.
Agreed.
And I look at the Bears' final 4 at Green Bay, home against Cleveland, home against Green Bay, at the Niners, home against the Lions. Now they're playing great.
And one seed right now.
They've won 5 in a row. They've won 9 of 10. They're the number one seed. They're rolling. Here's the big question, and this is probably one of the biggest questions coming into the final month. Who wins Sunday at Lambeau? Now, Green Bay doesn't have Devontae Wyatt anymore, and Chicago's running the hell out of the ball. And that's the one thing that I think Green Bay's got the historical advantage. They've got the home field. You know, the Bears don't have good feelings when they're going against the Packers because the Packers have owned them so much through the years. But these are not the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre Packers. And this is not, you know, I'm kind of wondering. I kind of feel like a lot of people assume, you know what, Bears, Packers at Lambeau, the Pack's going to get this one. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, are the Bears going to go into Green Bay and just run right through them? The Bears' offensive line and their two-headed back of Menangi and Swift is looking great right now. I mean, really great. I'm always looking for
Menangi was your dude in the draft crush. I remember when we were going back and forth, and man, you loved Menangi.
Oh, I mean, he was just built low to the ground, tough as hell, can't knock him off his feet, contact balance for days, production up the wazoo. I mean, how the Niners went with Jordan James in the 5th round. With that guy still on the board is just beyond me.
The question is, do you think Menangi would have got any snaps with this 49ers offense?
I do.
Kyle Shanahan.
I think so. I really believe that if you've got talent, you get on the field. And he's got talent, he'd be on the field. Now, he wouldn't be on the field as much.
Right.
That's for sure. But I mean, I'm still trying to figure out who's going to be squeezed out between Bears, Lions, and Packers. I'm starting to think it may be the Packers. That is going to be on the outside looking in, which would be, I mean, what a colossal fail for Gutekunst and LaFleur if they trade for Micah Parsons and don't make the playoffs. I mean, they were, heck, the word around the league and the word coming out of Green Bay was Micah Parsons was, you know, the cherry on top, and they were going to rampage towards a Super Bowl or two. And instead, if they don't make the playoffs, LaFleur might get dumped. What do you think?
I think they like LaFleur a lot. I think the Packers are like one of the least knee-jerk reaction teams in the NFL, so I think that he'll stay. But, man, like Jordan Love is this – he's a great quarterback. Like, he's got all the skills, he's got all the talent, he's got all the measurables, all those things. It's just when you watch him play, a lot of times I'm like, man, how good is this guy? And I wonder why a lot of the narrative around Brock Purdy – isn't echoed around some of these other very inconsistent quarterbacks. Like, and I totally like get it. Jordan Love passes the eye test, like to a T. But the routine plays that he misses out on just continuously. Now, and you could talk about, okay, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. What I totally understand that. I get it. The numbers, the eye test, I get it. But when games matter, I am not on the Jordan Love like trust train at all. And I know somebody's going to rake me over the coals for this, and that's totally okay. I'm just saying the eye test when games matter. I was at the game against Green Bay in the playoffs where that dude single-handedly threw that game away against the Niners. You know, the 2 interceptions. I think Dre Greenlaw got them both. But like, I don't know. And so can Jordan Love finally come through in the clutch? We've never seen that yet. That was Aaron Rodgers' best trait for the longest time. So I don't have a lot of faith in that offense. They've got all the tools. It's just, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I kind of agree with you, Larry, that I think Green Bay could be the team on the short straw here in the NFC playoff race. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week 1 and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now,
No better time to jump in. No better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right: Prize Picks. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Oh, you're muted, Larry. My bad.
You know, no, it's not your bad. I've got a little bit of a head cold, so I was blowing my nose. I muted myself. I forgot to unmute. So I apologize. You know, I get this vibe around the Niners that they're on the verge of running the table. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my sense of it is wrong. I've been wrong before, as you guys know. But I just get that sense that they're going to run the table. Let's just say this. I don't get the sense that they're going to have any more just no-shows like Houston, where it was just like, oh, wow, they're just getting dominated. They're not in this game. Or like the Ram game, where it's just like, oh, my God, they're getting thoroughly outclassed here by the Rams. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're gonna keep it rolling. The Bear game's gonna be really tough because the Bears have momentum running the ball. The Colt game's gonna be tough because Jonathan Taylor is a really good running back. That Seattle game could be potentially tough just because their defense is really cooking right now and they're playing really well. The Tennessee game should be one-sided, but even if it's not, just a win. Any kind of a win there is fine. But I get the vibe with Purdy back. I don't know if you saw those numbers. This is actually pretty interesting. Let me see if I have that.
We're going deep detective mode. I love it when Larry does this, man. I get excited.
Yeah, well, seriously. This really caught my eye. Okay, the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan after the bye week. Wait for this, John. 44-19 coming out of the bye. 44-19. 2019, they went 10-3 after the bye. They won four straight to get it rolling. 21, they went 8-4 after the bye. 22, they went 9-0 after the bye. 23, they went. Let me see. It's on the next page. See what happens when you do photocopy. God, jeez. 7-2. 7-2 in 2023. Last year, obviously, they died after the bye. But most years, when they've been decent, they roll after the bye week. Why do you think that is? I kind of feel like Shanahan is kind of a laid-back, low-key guy and lets these guys kind of find their own way in September and October. But I think he kind of demands that everybody, you know, kind of refocus and get on the same page after the bye. I think he himself probably dials it up a little bit after the bye. I've heard, you know, a lot of his dialogue is, hey, look, you know, I mean, even earlier this year, he's like, hey, we just want to hang around and then really get things rolling late in the year. And hopefully we're peaking towards the playoffs. Well, you know what? That's exactly what's happening right now. The 49ers are, are the Niners peaking or did they get beat by the Rams? And then they played three teams that aren't any good in Arizona, Carolina, and Cleveland. And they're going to have another one with Tennessee. And then they're going to get a root. I mean, are the 49ers going to get a rude awakening when they've played the better teams on their schedule or in the playoffs? And it's going to be like, oh, man, there's the slap of reality. Or are they going to be allowed to kind of cook and meld together and they're going to be peaking in December and January like Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan envisioned at the beginning of the year? I mean, that's the real question. And I think there's indications, John, that this team is going to be peaking. And why do I say that? Tatum Bethune's coming back. Sam O's coming back. Yetur Gross-Matos is coming back. Eddie Pinheiro's coming back. They're going to get talent back. Their safety tandem of Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown, to me, I just see these guys are going to the moon right now. I mean, they're just getting better and better and better and better. They're getting better as a combo. Their communication's better. It seems like they're flying around. They're looking a little bit more. They're playing with a little bit more reckless abandon. They're having an impact on the game. I think those two young safeties development is a major positive. So I don't know. I mean, I see momentum building, but if you wanted to argue, you know what? It's not momentum. It's Arizona, Carolina, Cleveland, Tennessee. These teams are garbage. That's what we're seeing. I guess I'd have to listen to that as well.
I would argue that there are two things that Shanahan does better than almost anybody in the NFL. One, December and playoff football. This dude is 8-4 in the playoffs with the 49ers. That is unbelievable. He's like a playoff win away from passing his dad all-time playoff wins. What Shanahan has done with the Niners in the postseason is unbelievable. Obviously, you don't have the Super Bowl win yet. That's the caveat there. But he has built a team to win when it matters most. This is the Kubiak Shanahan scheme. Run the ball. Good quarterback play. Strong defense. Now, the next thing that Shanahan does better than anybody is when you give him consistent tape to break down and to figure out the vulnerabilities, he is going to get you. All these teams now have so much game tape against similar defenses, similar offensive fronts, whatever, that he can find those vulnerabilities. Shanahan puts his players in positions to be successful when he doesn't have to guess. the scripted plays in the first half. In the second half, he's the best in the NFL at it. And so now that you have all of this tape from the 2025 season, Shanahan can draw up, get those little variants in, and he will change things. A lot of coordinators just stick with what they have all the time. Those little wrinkles that Shanahan brings into the game plan. You always hear players talk about it like, oh, Shanahan knew this play was going to happen. He told us this play right here would score a touchdown because of this. And then it happens. So with all the tape from the season after the bye week, I can guarantee you Shanahan and his coaching staff, they're going in and putting three extra plays in against the Bears. They're going in and putting three extra plays against the Colts. They're going in and putting some extra plays in there against the Titans because they have that time now. And we've heard them whenever they've had the first round bye in the playoffs say, yeah, we did a little bit of work on every possible opponent we could have so that we would be ready just in case. And he divides his staff up. Every team does this. But I think Kyle Shanahan and them have a little bit of that secret sauce where they're like, look, this is how we exploit this type of coverage if they line up to us in this way better than almost anybody in the NFL. So the playoff record, getting your players in a schematically advantaged position and knowing that they're in there, I think that's why they're always so damn good in December and the playoffs.
I think you're right. One of the other stories this morning that we're keeping our eye on, Diana Rossini, she's always good for a Saturday morning news bomb. Rossini and Jeremy Fowler are like the Saturday morning people. Have you noticed that? And it's like, it's Saturday morning, and all of a sudden, here we go. And Diana Rossini says, expect these names to garner interest in the upcoming coaching cycle. Chiefs OC Matt Nagy, Broncos DC Vance Joseph, Dolphins DC Anthony Weaver, Packers DC Jeff Hafley, Rams DC Chris Shula, Bills OC Joe Brady, Niners defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. Are we looking? Robert Saleh was asked about it. He's like, of course I want a head coaching job. Of course. And why wouldn't he? What do you think of the job that Saleh has done? Is he going to be a one and done guy for the Niners this year?
I think Saul has been incredible. Now, there's been some major, major hiccups. You brought up like the Texans loss and the Rams loss. Like I put those pretty much on Robert Saleh, and he even put it on himself where he's like, you had the Fred injury. I put way too much on these guys, and that was the problem versus the Texans game. Then he's like, okay, we're going to simplify and make everything kind of easy to read, make sure we get our calls right. Sean McVay goes out there and just takes him to the woodshed. But he found that balance. He's found that balance since replacing Fred and Bosa and all that kind of stuff. And he's kind of gotten his wings. So the first three games of the season, like all three of those wins, Robert Saleh was the architect of those wins. And then you look at like, man, back-to-back games, teams haven't scored in double digits. How many teams can say that? Not many. Robert Saleh. And special teams I'll throw in there as well. That's kind of the caveat there. So Robert Saleh, I'm saying A+ out of A+, but it hasn't been as like, okay, he deserves to win, assistant coach of the year. Should be in the running for it. I'm not sure he should win it. I don't think Robert Saleh is going anywhere this year. I think he's going to wait one more year minimum because he did not get to see what he could create. Big reason why he took this job, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, right? The relationship with Kyle, all those things. He didn't get experience that. What he's doing with this defense is awesome. Very reminiscent of the 2020 49ers, which got him the head coaching job last time. But what job out there, Larry, are you willing to walk? This is Robert Saleh's last chance at head coaching. Like this is the formula. You get two chances. You strike out there, you're done. Where are you going to go where you have a guaranteed quarterback, an ownership that is willing to do what's necessary to win and keep their damn nose out of the business? Is that opportunity presented itself yet? I don't see a quarterback with quality ownership becoming available. If it does, then maybe. But I ain't seen it yet.
It's interesting. I thought about this the other day. Where, if I was Robert Saleh, because I agree with you. I think you pegged that perfectly. It always appears like, oh, you'll get endless opportunities. No, he's already gotten one with the Jets and it didn't work out. He's going to get one more. Kyle Shanahan might get three more jobs, but Robert Saleh probably only gets one more head coaching job, and then So he's got to make it count. So it's like I was looking at, you know, who are the teams that are going to be looking for coaches? Well, the New York Giants. Okay. Do you want to go there? No.
Not with Mora and not with Schoen as GM. God, no.
Do you want to go to the Arizona Cardinals?
If no.
They fire Gannon? I don't think so. And then the rest of these are probably going to be AFC teams. Do you want to go to Tennessee? The team that's rumored to be interested in Robert Saleh is Tennessee. You know, do you want to go to Tennessee? Do you want to go to the Raiders? Do you want to go to the Browns? Do you want to go to the Jets again? No. Do you want to go to the Dolphins? So I think there's only one team, if I was Robert Saleh, that would make me go, yep, I'll go. Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals.
If he checks that quarterback, yeah, but what about the owner? Like literally the worst owner in the NFL.
Yeah.
I prefer to play with Jerry.
I know, but the only thing is at least you have Joe Burrow.
Burrow's got a shot.
I mean, he's I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like Joe Burrow absolutely is going to win a Super Bowl.
He's pretty damn good, man. And that sporty cast is good. And you've got some defensive pieces. Shamar, you got your boy Shamar. You got Trey Hendrickson, who can't stay healthy, not playing again. But there are pieces. I'm just like, that is the worst ownership that I would try to tie my wagons to personally. Like, I would prefer to go to Davis with the Raiders, Jerry Jones with the Cowboys. Like, I'm staying away from Cincy personally. And I like that city, by the way. But
you like the three-way, I love Burrow. You like three-way chili?
I do. Come on, look at me. Do I like chili?
Do you go cheese? It's chili with pasta with cheese. I mean, it's
a nightmare.
It's a freaking nightmare, man.
I could do it once. Like, if I visit, I could do it once, and then I'm like, okay, I'm good for another leap year. But yeah,
I like chili, but I don't want pasta in my chili.
It's weird.
Your spaghetti out of my chili. And if a chili's really good, do I need to put like gobs and gobs of cheese? A little bit of cheese, a little bit of cilantro, a little bit of red onion on the top, you know, mix it all together. I want a spicy chili. But I don't need pasta in my chili. Come on, Cincinnati. Be better.
Midwest cuisine. It's a different animal.
Oh man, I mean how fat do you need to be?
We were having some pierogies up in Cleveland this past weekend.
Oh, that yeah, I was Cleveland. It looked cold.
It was a blast, man. It was freezing, but we were indoors most of the time besides the game. And so, yeah, food, cuisine, party scene, I was pretty impressed. I ain't going to lie. Cleveland showed up.
Well, hey, you should promote your trip to Indy, right? That's the next one. What, do you have a flyer going here?
Man, we don't have it yet. We're still waiting on one contract to be signed for our tailgate party, but everything's set. We just have it. You know, lock down the legality of it all. But yeah, so we're going to be in Cleveland for we're going to be in Indianapolis for the Monday Night Football game. We'll be throwing a party the day before. So that's Sunday party, 2 to 6, downtown, right across the street from the stadium at Tom's Watch Bar. That's going to be a blast. So we'll be indoors partying, watching all the other Sunday football madness, having a good time. And then we got an indoor tailgate right before the Monday Night Football game. We'll party indoors, all you can eat, all you can drink, all those things. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com and then we'll walk across the stadium, enjoy the 49ers Monday Night Football win. So come out, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. This is our 8th trip this season, Larry. Our last one of the regular season. I am tired. My wife is tired of me traveling. But yeah, we got one great party to throw again. We'll be out there Sunday from 2 to 6 and then before the game tailgate party.
Dude, I don't know how you do it, dude. It took me like a month to recover from New Orleans. Like, yeah. I was saying to Kev, like, the next week, I'm like, hey, bro, what if we traveled everywhere and we were going, like, to another game this week? He's like, Dad, I couldn't do it. I can't do back-to-back trips like that. I need some time to kind of gather. So I'm with him on that. I'm great. I tip my cap to you. I don't know. I mean, I could be fired up for, like, two or three trips. By the time we get to the fifth trip or whatever, I'm like, oh, man, I'd almost rather just sit on the couch.
Yep.
Let me share the screen. I think this is an interesting graphic I want to get your thoughts on. This is the Niners blitz rate by week. And I tried to make it as big as possible so you could see it there. I think this is really interesting. I'd love to have Robert Saleh on here. We could talk to him about like what he's thinking each week, right? Because the Niners lost Fred Warner. They lost Nick Bosa in the Arizona game week 3. They lost Fred Warner in the Tampa Bay game in week 6. And look at what has happened to their blitz rate since Warner and Bosa went out, most specifically Warner. And look at what Robert Saleh has done. All right, so like, if you're looking at this, you're looking at a, if you can't really tell, it's blitz rates on the left, and you have the weeks on the right. So that's the graph. First week against Seattle on the road, or Seattle beat, you know, they beat them in Seattle. They blitzed 30% of the time. I think the next week in New Orleans when I was down there, with Mac Jones at quarterback, but they blitzed Rattler, I think, 29% in that game. Then against Arizona, they blitzed right around 22%. And a little bit, maybe 23% against Jacksonville. Then they get into that first game against the Rams down there at SoFi, and they didn't blitz Stafford hardly at all, like 14%, 13%.
And one.
Big win. Then they go to Tampa, and they lose, and they blitz Mayfield about 27% of the time. Then they come back and bounce back and beat Michael Penix, and they blitzed him a little bit more, like 28, 29% of the time. Then we go to Houston, and the blitz rate's going up. Now you don't have Bosa, you don't have Warner, and this is now the second week without those guys. And they blitz Stroud 32, 33% of the time. And they lost. Then they come back, and they don't blitz Jackson Dart at all, hardly. I mean, maybe 12% of the time did they blitz. Now, if you're sitting there going, why? What are they thinking? I'm thinking that they just said, hey, you know what? Jackson Dart's not seeing it. Why give him predefined reads? We'll just make him be accurate. And obviously it worked because the Niners beat the Giants pretty good. Then you've got the next week, week 10. And this is where things really start to get interesting. They blitzed Matthew Stafford in week 10 at Levi's more than they'd blitzed any quarterback during the Saleh era. 48% blitz, and he carved him up for, you know, tons of yards and 42 points. So then the next week, they're like, well, shit, that didn't work. Let's go not blitz Brissett. And they blitzed Brissett like 11% of the time, and they got the win. Then they blitzed Bryce Young a little bit more, about 22, 23%. And then last week against Shadur, the 49ers blitzed one time, their lowest single game total of the season. It's the lowest single game total of a blitz in the Shanahan era. And they beat Shadur. And I think they maybe saw this, maybe send the same message to Shadur they were sending to Dart. We don't think this guy's seeing it. We don't want to give him predefined reads. We're not going to blitz him at all. We don't think he can beat us. We're going to drop into coverage and make him be accurate and see how accurate he can be. And they won the game. So I don't know. I mean, to me, this is really interesting because you have that you're known as a defense coordinator that never likes to blitz. You have Bosa, you have Warner, then you don't. And look at the difference. It's like Saleh. You can almost look at Saleh and just be like, he's like, hey, you know what? I don't know what's going to work. I know I can't get rush, so I'm just going to throw the kitchen sink and I'm going to mix it up so people don't know what to expect. Johnny, what do you give me your breakdown on this blitz rate by week graphic?
One, I think the Niners are a better team when they don't blitz, because when they bring 5-6 man pressure, a lot of times they still don't get there. They're not an effective blitzing team, league lowest in sacks and by a considerable margin. So like, understand what you can't do. Don't try to overcompensate for your weaknesses that makes you deficient in other areas like coverage. You're not a great coverage team either. So when you play against bad quarterbacks, a la the Giants rookie, Jackson Dart, I know he's going to be great. He's not there yet. You play against Jacoby Brissett. You play against Shadur Sanders. We're staying with base, and we're going to make quarterbacks perform above and try to take the game away from us. That's Robert Saleh's MO. Now we're playing against good quarterbacks, right? Matthew Stafford. We can't beat them in our base. We're going to blitz like crazy, which was dumb as hell. Never blitz Matt Stafford. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks the past two decades against the blitz. I have no clue what that game plan was. It was an absolute disaster. I said this earlier. McVay took Saleh to the woodshed in that Rams game. Then the first one, but in the second one. But in the first one, you didn't blitz, right? So don't give the answers to the test to Stafford. He's going to diagnose it. He's played against you too many times. McVay's going to know where the hots are and where the reads are. He's played against you too many times. So allow, and I think that they have developed the new pathway slash game plan to complementary football. Can you execute 5 to 6 successful scoring drives of 10 plays or more against this defense? If you cannot, we are going to win the game. And so when you're playing against Jackson Dart, Jacoby Brissett, Shedeur Sanders, we're just going to sit back in our base. Let's see if you can execute flawlessly down the field multiple times in a row. If you cannot, we're going to play mistake-free football on the offensive side. We're going to play quality special teams, and we're going to win 2 out of 3 phases of the game. Now, you look at the Bears. You look at the Panthers. Well, I guess probably I'll take the Panthers out of that because of the 3 turnovers by Brock. But you look at the Cardinals. You won 3 out of 3 of those games. Phases. Offense, defense, special teams. You blew them out of the water. So let's just stick with who we are. We're not going to get to the quarterback. And when we do, that's a bonus. Can they convert on 3rd and long consistently? I think that's what it is. I love this non-blitzing because it's not working anyway. You remember where they blitzed like Jair Brown, like 3 plays in a row and like just didn't work out against the Rams. It just got butchered 3 plays in a row. Don't do that. Like, you don't have quality blitzers on your team. Spice it up with some 5-man pressure every now and then. But man, just stick at base, win it on offense and special teams, defense, bend but don't break mentality, rally and tackle, close out in the red zone. That's the formula for the 49ers winning moving forward. I think Robert Saleh finally got it. I think you're muted again. My bad.
There we go. Sorry about that, everybody. Fighting the head cold this morning. The Niners have the worst pressure rate in the NFL. 14.4% according to PFF. But they did have 3 sacks last week against Cleveland. And that's the most they've had in a game since week 2 when Bosa was still healthy. So here's the question. Is this D-line coming on? You know, there's the interesting thing about this is that Clelin Ferrell has 4 sacks in 4 games. His career high was his rookie year, where he had 4.5 sacks in 15 games. He has 4 sacks in 4 games. So he's playing his butt off right now.
It was a healthy scratch 2 games ago, man.
I know.
It was a healthy scratch. And now he's featured.
The guy, though, I mean, to me, Ferrell is really interesting because he's playing well and he was a top 5 pick. And I've had a chance to talk to him, Johnny, and I'll tell you, this guy is all about winning. He was a top 5 pick. He's made some money in this league. He's made some money. He's played a number of years now. He doesn't have the ring. He came back for the ring. He wants a ring. He's playing like he's passionate about getting that ring. So, I mean, Clelin Ferrell looks really good. But the guy who really looks even maybe better is Keon White. Mm-hmm. And Keon White has found a home with the 49ers. This is per Next Gen Stats. He had a pressure rate of 28.6% in week 13. It's the second highest of Keon White's entire career. This guy was not a scheme fit in New England. He is a scheme fit here in this wide 9. And he looks like he's about to play a month of really good football. He looks like a guy who can add a little pressure, whether it be stunting, whether it be outside, inside. He's simplifying. He's hunting quarterbacks. He's in a scheme that fits his skill set. He's got a little momentum. And then you mix in the fact that Yetur Gross-Matos and Aquainu are coming back. Aquainu, he's got a pass rush win rate of 11%. That's only Bryce Huff with 16.7% is better among the Niners' healthy defensive ends. So, and then you got Gross-Matos has a win rate of 23.4%, and that ranks first among all interior rushers this year. He was having a really good year. If Gross-Matos can come back and play well and stay healthy, huge if.
Huge.
Huge if, because he hadn't been able to do that. But if Sam Aquainu continues to get better, if Clelin Ferrell continues to his scald, if Keon White continues what he's doing, is it possible that the 49ers are going to have enough heat up front to be better than we think on defense? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Robert Saleh can get back to his true NASCAR package where, you know, you started the season where you had four defensive ends out there on pass rush situations. Well, you had to kind of check that if you did three defensive ends and one defensive tackle since all the injuries at the defensive end spot. Now, let's say you get back to that and you can put four DNs out there. That helps your defensive tackles because you're taking away another 20-plus snaps away from them, so they're fresh on base downs. So that it's kind of a domino success effect of, look, your defensive tackles are going to get better because now they're fresher because they don't have to go out there and rush the passer, which they're not good at. Even Alfred Collins, who I think is probably the best, like, he's not a great pass rusher at this point in his career. You give me four defensive ends out there, that's going to increase the pressure rate. It's going to increase the defensive tackle run stop rate. Like, those are things that he can accomplish, which is how they built all through training camp, preseason, early part of the year, until you just, man, lost four out of five of your defensive ends. Get back to that now. Keon White's established himself. Cleveland Farrell's established himself. Are they, you know, Mikael Williams and Nick Bosa? No. But who is? Those are two first-round draft picks. You're getting the damn job done. Next man up mentality is a very real thing in the football locker rooms. And if you turn, Sam O can return and play at the level that they were. Yes, Larry. I don't think it's going to be a top-flight defense, but it's going to actually be acceptable in the pass rush department, and I think good things can come from that.
Be something else, man. It would be absolutely something else. How much do you believe in the 49ers redone special team unit?
As much as I believe in, I don't know, you put it, the Cowboys being a terrible run franchise, that Texas is better than Texas A&M. I'm going to put it up there with all that. Sorry about that, Larry. I love you, man. It's unbelievable what they have done on special teams. And I think that's the secret this year, because again, you win two out of three phases, you win the game. The 49ers have lost the special team phase nonstop for 8 out of 9 years. This is the first year where they are taking advantage of team. The 49ers offense started the ball on the opposite of the 50 six times against the Browns. Six times they took the first snap on the other side of the 50. Most of that was because of special teams. Hidden yardage is a very real thing. Special teams is killer. It has been fun to watch, man. And hopefully it continues.
We're going to move over to KMBR and do an hour. I'm going to do an hour from 10 to 11. John's going to be my guest at 10:15. So we're going to do that. But a couple quick thoughts on the college thing. BYU and Texas Tech underway in the Big 12 championship game. Texas Tech is 11-1. BYU's 11-1. BYU's good, and they're up 7-3. They were up 7-0 early, but now it's 7-3. I got to think Texas Tech's going to win that game. Give me your winners today. BYU, Texas Tech, who do you got?
Again, I'm a diehard Longhorn, so all of these are going to have a diehard Longhorn slant, so I apologize. I'm going Tech, man. If you can't get your grades up, get your guns up. That's what we say in Texas, and hopefully they win this one, and helps out Texas get into that playoff, which they have very slim chance. So I don't think it's going to happen, but Texas Tech wins that one.
Yeah, if you're a Niner fan looking ahead to the draft, go watch Texas Tech's D-line. Yep. They got a great guy, Skyler Howard Gill or whatever his name is. He's pretty good, three-name guy up front. Georgia-Bama SEC Championship, 1 o'clock West Coast start on ABC. Georgia's 11-1, Bama's 10-2. Who do you got?
Go Dogs.
Dogs are a 1.5 point favorite. I agree. I think I like Georgia in that one. Indiana, Ohio State, game of the year, maybe. Number one against number two. They're both 12-0. Big Ten championship. They'll play this one at a neutral site, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. It's going to be packed with Hoosier fans, man, and the Buckeyes are 4-point favorites. How do you see this one? Buckeyes have more pro talent. Indiana, I think, is the better coach team. Mm-hmm. How do you see this one?
I want Indiana to win so bad. I really, really do. I think Ohio State's just too talented, man. But I want Indiana to win really, really bad. But if I'm going to be honest, I think Ohio State's just too stinking talented, man.
Yeah, I just think, you know, they're on a different level. They're just on a different level. And then ACC championship game, Duke and Virginia at Bank of America Stadium there in Charlotte. UVA, 3.5 point favorites. They're 10-2. Duke's got a hell of a quarterback, Darius Mensa. He's got 28 touchdowns, four picks. Duke 7-5. I saw Duke live earlier this year take Cal apart. What do you think?
I the fighting Shanahans, the Duke Blue Devils, baby. I'm taking them on the upset on that one.
Okay. Okay.
That quarterback is real.
Let's hit our five supers. We should tell everybody that the Krug Show is brought to you by Sleeper, all of our friends at Sleeper. Thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Sleeper's fantastic, great platform, fantastic. If you're looking to, you know, be involved with some, you know, you want to be involved, but you just don't want to, you know, get too deep into it, man. I think Sleeper is fantastic. 49er football season is presented by Sleeper. It's the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. And thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. And also thanks to Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Habas Law is amazing. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Habaslaw.com on the web. HABBASlaw.com. They're a fantastic sponsor of the Krug Show. Great lawyers, and they're rooted right here in the community. They do a lot of great stuff, so thanks to them. All right, let's hit our supers, and then we'll bolt for the door. Here we go. We got six of them in the house. Here we go. We got this one. Oscar, two of my top 49er content creators, rest up 49ers. There we go. Actually, we skipped that one. We skipped one here. No, that was it. That was number one. Number two. The Shrek, shout out to Pig in a Pickle, had brisket and potato salad. Nice. Thank you.
Brisket for the win, man.
There you go. Tommy Huxley in the house. John and Larry, warms your soul like red beans and rice.
Love red beans and rice. Y'all making me hungry on here now.
I'm telling you. Kimbrough says, at a birthday party for my son, just wanted to jump on real quick to say I appreciate you guys and what you do. Great stuff, guys. Thank you. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Man.
That's really nice. Calba is in the house. He said, guys, need some fantasy advice. I see St. Brown. I sat St. Brown because I wasn't sure if he'd be able to go. Do you replace him with Debo at Minnesota or Xavier Worthy at home against Houston? Thanks in advance. I think I'd probably go Debo.
Yeah, same here. Against that defense, like it's boom or bust, but that's what Debo is. You got him. This is what you're using him for. That Houston defense is for real, so I could see a low-scoring game there.
Dale says, North Dakota State, watch Bryce Lance, way better than Trey. Yeah, he's a 6'4 receiver who's probably going to go pretty high in the draft.
Yep.
SF49er Brian, update on Eddie P or Juice. Eddie P is going to be back after the bye. Juice is also coming back. He's got fractured ribs, but he is going to be back. I don't know if he'll be back for Tennessee or the game after. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks to John. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to Habas Law. And also thanks to all of you guys. Join me on the Krug Show for, once again, the meet and greet. We'll be there tomorrow in Corte Madera. I'll be there all day watching football. Thanks to Johnny. Join me on KMBR. We're going to go over there right now. We're going to start in about a minute. John's going to join in about 15. We'll talk more Niners on the radio. So that's going to do it for us. Thanks to you all. Have a great Saturday. Go Niners.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.